don't live your hand around too much.
I'm sure it aren't gonna be. I'll go through that. You look good. Travel vision on missionary trips. And you have to get you set up a church. He also wrote to Titus. So I'm going to start out with Titus 2:7. When he wrote to Titus, he wrote, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, show all the brothers that we are sincere." John Calvin wrote about this. That when we teach others, we must also be willing to be taught. For if we are not willing to learn so that others may profit by our instruction, we shall never be able to do our duty. Therefore, seeing God has placed us teachers in his house, we must himself be ready and willing to receive doctrine and good instruction. We must listen when other men give counsel and be willing to receive information. Thus we have the meaning of all of our three words. Namely, those who are called to preach the word of God must take heed that they are not self-willed, but willing to be taught to be meek and quiet spirited, not puffed up with pride, but endeavoring to edify others. Must not think they know all things, but desire to learn continuously and be gentle in their behavior. They must not be like those who are lofty, self-willed, for these often become schismatic, that is to say, they trouble the church of God and divide it into sects. The meaning of this text is not only confined to ministers, for in exhorting them to beware of intemperance, covetousness, pride, and in courteous, just, sober, and chaste, Paul expects by their example all Christians should behave themselves in such a manner that soberness, justice, goodness, modesty, and all virtues he speaks of may be common among them. If we wish to be children of God, let us practice all the fear of condemned by Paul and endeavor to follow the virtues that he recommends. Now know how Paul commits good works and doctrine in this text. A Christian, especially a church leader, who is lacking in any of these areas can be very dangerous. The lives of leaders must become a pattern of good works for those whom they shepherd. They also must be careful to guard the true doctrine of God's word. If either of these slips, consequences will be desired. Pray for your leaders that they will remain steadfast in these areas. But through the grace and mercy of God, 1, Paul writes, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were all sinners. We were all following the prince of the power of the air. We were all following Satan. In fact, later we'll be called slaves of Satan. Titus 3, starting verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, it saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of a few generations, we received the Spirit, or and renewed of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God's mercy, God's grace, saved us. If you jump over to Mark 8, starting at verse 31, Jesus, they're talking about his death. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Returning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel, save it. For what is it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my work in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up the cross. Don't worry about what people say to you, what people think of you. Don't be ashamed to tell people that you are a follower of Christ and that he has saved you. I was a little worried this morning when Stephen started 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them. And Jesus came and said to them, and this is really important. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. So, when he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, he is the full authority of God to tell us to do that. And that's exactly what we should be doing. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. Don't just make converts. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Don't just get them to say prayer. Don't just get them to raise your hand. Don't just get them to walk an aisle. But teach them all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what does that look like? Jump over to James. James 1. James wrote, James, brother of Jesus, in verse 22. Thank you. Romans 2, starting at verse 6. I just said it.
Standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from
sin and become slaves of righteousness. You become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. The importance of the teaching is that if you are going to be committed from the heart, you better be sure the teaching is correct for what you become committed to. And you do that by being the word, by being Bereans. If the pastor gets up and says something, says the Bible says or God says, you need to be double checking. Triple checking if necessary. Because it's very easy for the guy standing up here, not in my case, but the guy standing up here, to be put on a pedestal, so to speak, where people just believe whatever he says. And they never went to double check. And that's how people have done a strength book. So let's jump over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Y'all remember Peter? He's the one that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. First Peter chapter 4. Peter says, verse 19, very last verse of the chapter. Very big end of the chapter. Suffer according to God's will and dress their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. If you are doing good for God, then you just need to trust Him that even though you're suffering, He's got you covered. So there's been a lot of talk about good works here. So let's jump all the way back to before God created anything, He already had prepared the kingdom for those who would inherit it. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome us, or naked and clothed? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed him, you the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, just because you have been saved by grace doesn't mean you have no attributes of works. In fact, because you have been saved, it's even more reasonable to do these works. Because that's one of the indicators that you truly are saved. Turn over to Luke 6. John 8, starting at verse 31. Jesus is talking to the crowd. And so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. That's the key. The Jews who had believed in him. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in his word, you are truly his disciple. If you don't abide in his word, you're probably not really a disciple. Or you're a very young, immature disciple who has much to learn. And if you jump over to verse 51, Jesus says, truly, truly, you've all heard it. When something is repeated in the Bible, it's to get your attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. He will not get into the lake of fire. He will live forever in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus. So, where do we go from there? About Ephesians 2. Saved by grace, it is imperative that we do those good works. And if you're sitting there going, well, I don't know what those good works are, keep your eyes open and God will show you what needs to be done. Stephen's probably sitting over here going, what does any of this have to do with 2 Timothy? Well, 2 Timothy 1. Starting at verse 15. No, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. That'll make a lot more sense. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In Romans 16, at 25, Paul wrote, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings that have been known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that dwell therein, I thank you that we were able to gather here tonight to study your word. And I pray as we go about our membership in covenant, and as this old church, we pray, grows, as we reach out to our community with good works, with the gospel, I pray that you use us in a mighty way to bring the good news to every country. God, I just ask this in Jesus' name.